This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ugalo at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, on Sunday, 2nd August 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. Our church resumes its corporate worship today, Sunday, the 2nd of August. We are adhering to all set rules and regulations because we love each other and want to protect one another. Now, if you have benefited from these sermons and would like to continue to listen to them and other sermons, we are now uploading them onto the internet at sermonaudio.com. Sermonaudio.com. Once you open, under the speakers, you can type my name, Naphtali Ugalo, and you can choose one of the sermons that you'd like to listen. You're also most welcome to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret. We are within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street behind Cogo Flats, that is in Eldoret Town. As I bring God's Word this morning, by way of introduction, let me say this. When you consider that we haven't met for corporate worship for actually 19 Sundays, when also you consider the uncertainties of what might be affecting us tomorrow as regards the COVID-19 pandemic, who will be infected tomorrow, we don't know. And who might die through its attack, we don't know. You see, one may think that everyone would desire to be at church today. Everyone would be longing and desiring to hear God's word. And when they hear it, to believe it so that they may be saved. However, that thought, as good as it is not the case. It's not the case at all. Now, you may think, Pastor, you are such a faithless preacher. Every preacher has faith that everyone hearing their gospel will be saved. How can you say that not everyone who hears will be saved? Well, I'm able to say that because of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who strongly says that not everyone who hears the gospel will be saved. Well, let's see what the scripture says about that. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We are going to read verses 16 to 25. Matthew 10, 16 to 25. As we turn there, I want to call my sermon today Opposition to the Gospel Foretold. Opposition to the Gospel Foretold. This is what the passage reads from verse 16, Matthew 10. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Now let us pray. Lord God, we seek your face. We have just read your word. And I pray that the minutes we have will be profitable as I seek to open it up and to explain and apply it, Lord. And pray that your Holy Spirit will help me to bring these truths clearly out, and will help my hearers, Lord, that these words will grow and bring fruit. O Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in last week's sermon, Jesus tells his 12 apostles of great privileges that are theirs as they prepare to go in this great mission. Just to remind you of what we therefore learnt by way of application last time, one of the things was that representing Jesus among the people in this manner is indeed a high calling, and therefore must not be used to enrich one's self, not using the gospel for one's own gain. And then the other thing we learnt was that temporarily, the Lord Jesus commanded them to go among the Jewish people only. Now, this was to the lost sheep of Israel. And this was a high privilege, being sent to go to speak to none other than the Jewish people. It was a privilege for them to hear the gospel of salvation the very first, before any others. And then, in the third place, we learned that to every listener of the gospel, God has commanded you to, you know, the great obligation set before you to support the preachers of the gospel. Support the preachers of the gospel. And also, we did learn in the final place that to every preacher of the gospel, God has given the right to expect support from those who listen. Now, it would be expected that people would receive the gospel everywhere. Honestly, wherever the apostles would go to preach the gospel, it would be expected that they would listen, they would receive. And even the apostles themselves would have thought, wow, with these great privileges which are ours, wherever we go, people will listen, people will receive and believe. But my friends, No, that is not the case. Their master warns them of impending opposition ahead. There is opposition to the very gospel that they are going to preach. Now, this opposition, as it was then, so it is now. And that's why I introduced the sermon the way I did, that not all who hear the gospel, even after 19 weeks of missing corporate worship and hearing the gospel preached right before you, no, people will not always receive it. Well, let's listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says and teaches in this very passage. There are three things that I want to bring before us this morning. One, the nature of gospel opposition. The nature of gospel opposition. You see, they are to be sent out as sheep. And you know, what a wonderful picture. They go out as sheep. I send you out as sheep. That's wonderful. But they are being sent among a people best described by the Lord Jesus as wolves. Yes. You see, this is a description of a people who by nature are cruel and unfriendly. And so the Lord Jesus says to them, as you go, representing me in all humility and meekness, to proclaim the gospel of my kingdom, so that a sheep may be gathered from among the wolves, you will meet cruelty. You will meet cruelty. And therefore, you need to be wise. You need to be wise. You need to be keen, listen to this, as serpents. Now, serpents or serpents, we gather a picture from them of shrewdness. Actually, what we would call smartness. But in the case of serpents or snakes, it's a smartness in a negative way. You would think, for example, or look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, the first book of the Bible. And what do we read in verse 1? Now, the serpent was more crafty than all the other animals that the Lord had made. And so there we meet the serpent introduced to us, but he is said to have been crafty. Now in his craftiness or in his smartness, whereby he deceived the woman, he used his smartness negatively to bring bad, to bring harm, to bring evil. Now, in human, these involve being alert and wise. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to learn here. We need to be alert. We need to be wise to do the right thing at the right time without compromising. That's what he's telling his disciples. Now, that should remind us of what the Apostle Paul teaches in Philippians chapter 2 verse 15 when he says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. There we are. And actually, Paul, the Apostle Paul himself, demonstrates that quality. Indeed, he showed it in a number of places, but in one place, that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. The Apostle Paul himself would say, I have become all things to all men, that indeed to the end I may save some, or that some may be saved. So that is the Apostle Paul. He is teaching us what it is to be as wise as serpent, but equally that we may be as harmless as doves. And so the Lord Jesus would be saying to his apostles, my apostles, these will not just be issues in the time to come. No, it actually begins here and now. Verse 17, he says, beware of men. Beware of men. Do not behave in any way to make this cruel world find you guilty or find any fault with you. And so let me say this by way of application. Gospel ministers and gospel preaching demand discernment. Gospel ministers and their preaching demand watchfulness. It demands what someone has called sanctified common sense. Simply, this demands wisdom. In other words, friends, we do not win people to Christ by shouting them till they get deaf. No. Or by playing tricks with them. And then later they find out that, I was never told the whole truth. Then they find fault with us. No, we must not do that. The Lord Jesus wants us to call his sheep from among the wolves by carefully conducting ourselves in such a way that we can be described as gentle as a dove, as watchful, as discerning, with no fault found with us. That is very important. That is what will help when we are facing gospel opposition. We must not be shrewd in the negative sense of the word, but positively, we must be smart. We must be discerning. Now, friends, I move on to the second point. The forms of gospel opposition. What form does gospel opposition take? How do they come? We have seen the nature of the opposition, but what varieties of opposition would we face? Now, of course, there would be many as we look at the Bible, but we are restraining ourselves to this passage. And this is what we learn when we look at verse 17, the second part of it. It says, they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. There we are. Now, of course, these were the local Jewish courts. And so from one court or the lower court, then they will drag you to another court. That would be like the Jewish Supreme Court, and where one would find the Sanhedrins, where, of course, the flogging or the scourging, that is, beating with the rods, would take place. So remember, they start you with a smaller coat and move you on to the next, move you on to the next. before the Apostle Paul was converted, he actually was dragging people to the synagogues. And then later on, people would be beaten under his guidance, under his care. People would be beaten, his direction. Especially, you read Acts chapter 22, verse 19. He admits that. He admits that. But later, when he himself then now was saved, converted to Christianity, the Apostle Paul himself was tortured in a similar way. And this scourging was done to people. People were whipped using whips that had rods tied to them, and they would beat people with 39 lashes. And Paul again talks about that. He himself was beaten later after he now became a Christian. Well, the passage goes on in verse 18 to tell us that you will be dragged before authorities. So it's not only being dragged to the courts and to the synagogue and be beaten there. Now, it moves further on. You will be dragged before authorities, and that is before governors and before kings and before the Gentiles. You know, did these things really take place? Well, yes. With the Lord Jesus Christ himself, this took place when he was sentenced to death by Pontius Pilate. And then King Herod Agrippa I killed John, the brother of James, the brother of John, the sons of Zebedee. James was killed by King Agrippa. Apostle Paul himself had to travel all the way to Rome to appear before the emperor. You may remember his famous statement made in Acts chapter 25, Acts chapter 25, verse 12, that you have appealed to Caesar, to Caesar you shall go. And so he went, and he appeared. But then verse 18 goes on to tell us that it was for my sake. That is, for the sake of Christ. Why were these people to stand before the authorities? It was for the sake of Christ, on his account. Philippians chapter 1 verse 12 captures it in a beautiful way. Philippians chapter 1 verse 12 says, Paul talking about his imprisonment. And he says, my imprisonment has advanced the gospel into the palace, even among the guards. So you see, Paul got dragged all the way to the very emperor himself because of his testimony of Christ. And so he was there, and his being there gave him opportunity to present Christ for the sake of Christ. Now, as we go on, there in verse 23, it presents us with another form of opposition, which is really disturbing. Remember, we are looking at the forms, the various shades of opposition to the gospel. And now in verse 23, we read this. It's really about family members turning against each other and dragging them to death. So we read in verse 21, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And the children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Surely this is strange. And so we ask, why? Why such hatred? Well, verse 22 tells us the reason. Verse 22 says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Because they hate me, they will hate you. So, we could learn a number of things, but let me just bring one item again for application. And it is this. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of Christ is the litmus test to prove that people are spiritually blind and indeed dead. Yes, because when the gospel is preached, it rattles people and they begin to show their true color. They begin to show indeed that they hate, they have a hatred to the very thing that would save them. The gospel comes to them so humbly, so wisely, so innocently, peacefully, like a dove. But what happens? They hate it, and they hate the people who bring the gospel. Unless the Lord himself does the change, no person can change themselves. And the good news of Christ is actually the litmus test to prove that people are spiritually blind and indeed they are dead. Now in the third place, so we have seen the nature of the gospel opposition, then various forms of gospel opposition. But now, let's see something, and hopefully more positively, how to cope with gospel opposition. How to cope with gospel opposition. And we see that in verses 19 and 20. You see, to be dragged to the courts was one thing. Fearful enough, it would cause anyone to fear. But when now they were to stand before governors and kings and expected to defend themselves, now this was terribly scary. Yes, it is in this context that Jesus tells them, verse 19, second part of it, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. Do you hear that? Don't be anxious how you are to speak, what you are to say. No. When worry comes, knock it down. Don't be worried. Reason? Well, the Lord Jesus says, because what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. Now, of course, this does not mean that they didn't need to think. And somehow they will just begin to utter things that they had never even thought about. No, no. Rather, God will use the things they've learned already from their master, the discipleship training that they've received already. And also their own personality. God will use that in a superior way to astound their opponents. Hence, look at verse 20. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Of course, you'll appreciate this is similar to later when men like Matthew and John and Paul and Peter, as they will be writing their letters, you see, their learning, their personality were all involved in the things they were writing as they were aided by the Spirit of the living God. Now, chapter and verse? Yes, 2 Peter. You read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It proves that the things they said and wrote, these are things that were guided by the Holy Spirit. But they were not like typewriters, no. Each person used their ability and their personality, but then the Holy Spirit was upon them. Now, if uncertainty comes upon you to worry, Jesus again gives them assurance. The middle of verse 22. And this is the assurance. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So, how does one cope with opposition? The Lord Jesus basically says, remain loyal to me. Finally, there is glory. So, my apostles, press on with the work, the Lord Jesus would say. So that in verse 23, we are told this. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. You see, their persecution will not go on forever. The Lord Jesus is laying a very, very important principle for the apostles here and indeed for preachers of the gospel in the years to come. There is a principle here we learn, and it is this. If the gospel preaching is rejected persistently, then a time comes when it is withdrawn. Let me come through that again. If the gospel preaching is rejected persistently, then a time comes when it is withdrawn. Because remember, the Lord Jesus says, listen, when they persecute you in one town, move on to the next, flee to the next. Can we prove that in the scriptures? Well, yes. Acts chapter 13, there are a number of passages, but Acts chapter 13, we saw it last time in last preaching, but surely we see it here again. Acts 13 verse 46, the Apostle Paul says this, and Luke records this about the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. He says this, and Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Now that is in reference to the fact that the Jewish people were to receive the gospel first. Paul and Barnabas went and preached the gospel to the Jewish people. But they rejected. They rejected. And finally, they said, okay, enough is enough. And they turned, of course, to the Gentiles. The Gentiles received it with gladness and they were saved. Well, another way to cope with this opposition is simply this. Don't be surprised. Their behavior is not strange. Don't be surprised. Their behavior is not strange. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling these people, his apostles, as they prepare to go. Look at verse 24. where the Lord Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? You see, the Pharisees had claimed that Jesus was using the power of Satan to cast out demons. And they didn't just say it once, but repeatedly. They actually called Christ the devil in person. So, Christ's followers must not be surprised when they are called names, including devil worshippers. And by the way, we as a church have been called devil worshippers severally. And we should not be surprised when that happens, because they called the Lord Jesus himself the devil in person and using the power of the devil to cast out demons. Let me say this as we close. I want to plead with you. I urge you to receive the gospel of Christ and be a member of his kingdom. You see, believing his gospel is the best thing that can happen to you. Yes. Now, of course, it's true. You will face opposition by those who still reject the gospel. But you have Christ's promise. Christ had you in mind when he was sending out his apostles. Christ had you in mind and has you in mind when he sends you preachers. He has promised his presence. He has promised his assurance. He has promised his comfort. So do not fear, but believe. Christ means it for well. Believe, believe, and be a member of his kingdom. However, it must be said, would to God that the fact that we have stayed so many weeks without joining together corporately for worship would cause everyone who is not a believer to turn to Christ while it is called today. Now that's my prayer. That's my longing. And Christ sends me out to plead with you, to encourage you, that you may turn and believe his gospel. Turn, prove that you're not a wolf, by coming to Christ as a sheep of Christ, so that you would hear his voice and follow him. Do that today. Amen.